Sunoco, S-U-N-O-C-O. Sunoco presents Lowell Thomas. Friends, why? Why is it that Sun Oil Company can sell you high-test Sunoco Dynafuel without charging you the high-test price? It's because there are no second or third grades of this wonder fuel to increase our production, transportation, and selling costs. Instead, such great savings are effected that we're able to sell Dynafuel at less than other high-test gasolines. That's why
you save up to 2 cents. Yes, you save up to 2 cents a gallon.
So switch to superpower, switch to super smoothness. Switch to money-saving Dynafuel. Sunoco Dynafuel, and save as you drive. Now, Lowell Thomas.
Good evening, everybody. Uncle Sam has not yet achieved or secured the peace for which the men of our armed forces fought at a cost of more than 1 million casualties. That was the gist of President Truman's Christmas message to wounded war veterans this evening. The president added, however, that as Christmas approaches, the picture is not too discouraging. There is increasing hope for believing that the patient cooperation of men and women everywhere working together in unity can establish mutual understanding and justice and thereby bring about world peace. So said the president. And he added, I know we can do it. I believe we will. In many ways, he went on, we have moved nearer to the goal than we were last year. But we've made mistakes and we've suffered delays. Then he used these words to the veterans. I feel sure that this new year will bring us closer to what you must have for a happier, more abundant life. The lights on the Christmas tree on the south lawn of the White House are going to be turned on at dusk Christmas Eve, about 5:15 next Tuesday. And Mr. Truman will broadcast a Christmas message to the country. Christmas morning at 8:00, Mr. Truman will fly home to Independence, Missouri, there to celebrate Christmas with his mother. Mrs. Truman and his daughter left Washington for Missouri by train last night. The Veterans Administration took action today to protect servicemen from being gouged over their real estate transactions. This because appraisers have been exaggerating the value of properties offered to veterans. When the Veterans Administration began guaranteeing GI loans, lenders were allowed to choose their own appraisers, with results unfortunate for the serviceman. So all this is to be done away with now. Already hundreds of appraisers have been fired, and more still are to be discarded. In the future, the Veterans Administration will select the appraisers. The leaders of 5 veterans organizations met the new housing expediter in Washington today. They wanted to learn what the administration was doing to provide more housing. The expediter promised them a speed-up and undertook that there would be no use of materials to build anything but residences. One of the reforms the Republicans will try to achieve in Washington will be the departure of as many as possible of the numerous press agents to be found on the federal government payrolls. At least, that's the plan of Congressman John Tabor of New York, who will be chairman of the Appropriations Committee of the House. Congressman Tabor announced today that he intends to clean out government press agentry and do it in a wholesale way. He has asked the director of the budget for a complete list of the federal government officials with complete details about who they are, how much they earn, what they do, how well qualified they are to do it. Congressman Tabor believes that most of the federal information services are really propaganda agencies. Said he, propaganda staffs never tell the truth if they can help it. He added that government agencies have been pouring out a steady stream of propaganda in the form of press releases, known in the newspaper trade as handouts. Congressman Tabor said that one consequence of this situation is that newspapermen in Washington have become so lazy that present-day reporters can't turn out a story until they get a handout. Well, some Washington observers got a chuckle out of Congressman Tabor's proposal today. They point out that it may be embarrassing to Republican Congressman Harold Knutson of Minnesota, who will be chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, because Congressman Knutson has been thinking of engaging a public relations counsel for his committee just to keep the public informed about tax matters. Over in Europe, there are many thousands of people who want to come to the United States, and there are thousands who have obtained permission to immigrate. Although they have their passports and they have their visas, so far they have been unable to come to the promised land, all because of a lack of transportation. So today, President Truman ordered 4 ships of Uncle Sam's Maritime Commission to go over to Europe and get them and bring them here. And we all hope that they will make good citizens. Soviet Russia wants the United Nations to investigate Greece thoroughly and drastically, conduct a searching inquiry into military affairs in Greece. Ah, but not investigate Greece's neighbors, Yugoslavia, Romania, and Albania. That was the burden of a vehement speech by Delegate Gromyko before the UN Security Council at Lake Success today. Russia would permit limited investigation of its puppet states, but only the border areas. The American delegation promptly objected, said the United States could not agree to any proposition which determined beforehand who was to blame in the Balkans. William B. Ziff, a New York author, author of a highly impassioned book called The Rape of Palestine, enlightened the proceedings of the Zionist Congress over in Switzerland today. He made a statement to a press conference there. He appeared there, he said, as a spokesman for the Stern Gang and for the Irgun's Vaile Umi of Palestine. And then Ziff went on to add that he spoke not as a delegate to the Congress, but as an individual American citizen. Ziff uttered warnings of immediate civil war in the Holy Land if there were any attempt to compromise the Jewish claim to all Palestine, or if there were any further collaboration on the part of the Zionists with the British to end active resistance. He denied that the Stern Gang and the Irgun's Vaile Umi are terrorists. That word, he said, is a British invention. And he charged that Lieutenant General Sir Evelyn Barker, the British commander in Egypt, had caused all Jews within a mile of Sir Evelyn's residence to be removed. At that point, a Jewish correspondent spoke up and contradicted him. The Jewish correspondent said that he himself lived within 200 yards of General Barker. Ziff made no answer to that. He just went on to say that the active resistance forces in Palestine number from 15,000 to 20,000 men, fully armed, operating under the command of leaders of recognized military genius, and that large groups of Haganah, the moderate underground army, are supporting them too. All in all, he figured that the active resistance forces could mobilize 50,000 to 75,000 men. The British had announced that the Stern Gang numbered less than 600, Irgun's Vaile Umi about 2,000. Ziff went on to say that the organizations had asked him to announce that they would retaliate if there is any witch hunt in Palestine. They will not even discuss anything with the British so long as what they call pressure and persecution continue. If the leaders of the Zionist Congress insist upon collaborating with the British, then they will be looked upon as quislings. The Zionist Organization of America injected further discord into the scene at Basel, Switzerland today with a statement rebuking the venerable Dr. Chaim Weizmann. The ZOA declared that in his address of Monday night, Dr. Weizmann had so distorted the actions of American Zionists that he had made it appear that they were encouraging the youth of Palestine to expose themselves to danger while the Zionists themselves remained safely in America. The people of Iran will go to the polls on Sunday to elect a new parliament. The premier today promised a free election with punishment for anyone who tries to bulldoze the Persian voters. Premier Gavam promises that if his government is supported, he will carry out reforms for the peasants and for labor. Russian newspapers today published an accusation that Premier Gavam's troops in Azerbaijan are carrying out mass executions, with 600 communists shot so far and 300 more arrested. Winston Churchill today hurled a withering blast at the Attlee government. He accused it of tyranny, conceit, and incompetence. Churchill announced that after the holiday recess, he'll move for a vote of no confidence. This was Winston Churchill's response to the Socialist Cabinet's demand for control of farming, control almost as rigid as that exercised by the Nazis and the Soviets. One provision of the program would mean that if a farmer declined to comply with government regulations or were inefficient, then the British government could take his land away from him. However, he would be paid for it. A government spokesman explained that this control was to produce a higher quality of farm operation in Britain. The act would also enable the government to declare a state of emergency, bring back wartime controls, and tell each farmer just what crops he could grow and what livestock he could raise. Such was the measure that aroused the ire of the wartime prime minister today. Senator Bilbo spoke out in his own defense today. Bilbo read from a statement, 41 pages long, 10,000 words, a typical Bilbo harangue. He was talking for his political life, and he brought in the names of the savior, of George Washington and Julius Caesar. After mentioning them, he used these words, "I claim to have the greatest traitor of them all in my trusted secretary." He then compared that secretary to Judas Iscariot, Brutus, and Benedict Arnold. He denied ever having received a cent of improper money. Of the checks made out to his order, Bilbo explained that every cent had been turned over to to his political managers for campaign expenses, not always his own, but largely the expenses of candidates who had been defeated in the primaries. That seems to be an old Mississippi custom. If you defeat your rival in the primaries, you pay his expenses so that he won't turn against you at the general election. Bilbo admitted having received a loan of $1,200, said he had paid part of it back and would pay the rest. He is, he explained, slow pay but sure. He is also a poor but honest man, heavily in debt. Along with his former secretary, he denounced his one-time friend, now opponent, Representative Ross Collins of Mississippi. He declared that the agitation against him had been worked up by Negroes, communists, personal enemies, and Yankee pinks. He admitted having received gifts of furniture and motor cars, but said they were Christmas presents and that there was sound precedent for people in public life receiving Christmas presents of motor cars. The most sensational testimony of the day was given by Dr. H.J. Onslinger, chief of Uncle Sam's Narcotics Bureau, who told how late in 1945 he, the doctor, visited Bilbo's office in Washington. The senator wanted the Narcotics Bureau to permit one of his constituents to have morphine. He showed Dr. Onslinger a letter, including certificates from two doctors, who swore that there was real medical need for morphine in the case and that if it were withheld, then the patient might die. On the strength of those letters, Dr. Onslinger said that he notified one of the doctors that the Narcotics Bureau would sanction a prescription of 2 grams of morphine a day for that Bilbo constituent. Then came the climax. Dr. Onslinger proceeded to testify that an Internal Revenue agent told him that Senator Bilbo received $1,500 for that medication, that the agent had the evidence on this. As Dr. Onslinger said this, Senator Tunnell of Delaware warned him, "You are making a very serious charge against a United States senator." Bilbo denied the accusation categorically, said it was due to the treacherous calumny of his former secretary, the Judas Iscariot. Some 35 years ago or thereabouts, a man living in Billings, Montana, went to Canada, leaving behind a little son. The father did pretty well in Canada and elsewhere. And a few years ago, he became remorseful about the lad that he had abandoned at Billings. The father spent the last years of his life traveling all over the West, looking for traces of his son. At the same time, his son, who had joined the Coast Guard, became a junior grade lieutenant. The son was in the East looking for his father. Well, the melancholy part about the story is that the father died 10 days ago at the age of 94. He had been living in a $5-a-week room at Buffalo, cooking his own meals on a gas range. His last days were spent in anguish because he had failed to find any trace of his son. And as he passed away, he left a message begging the public administrator of Buffalo to find the son, all of which has come to pass. The Buffalo public administrator has identified Lieutenant Donald Talford as the missing son. The lieutenant lives in Portland, Oregon. And to the lieutenant will go some $50,000 left by the father who had abandoned him long ago. The court in Milwaukee today decided that it is not nice for a private to turn a corporal over his knee and administer a spanking. The corporal in the case is a WAC who serves in the Southwest Pacific and won a lot of ribbons. Her husband was only a private first class. Although he served in the China-Burma-India theater, the little woman had more ribbons than he. And every time they had a disagreement, why, she'd rub it in by throwing out her chest, so to speak. Finally, it became too much for him, and he took to spanking her. The judge said, "Papa shouldn't spank." And give the lady a divorce. I'm sure you would never take your beautiful wife over your heel.
Better not, Lowell. Lowell, do you know there are more than 400 petroleum refiners in America? They make more than 1,000 different brands of gasoline. And all of them are in vigorous competition with the others to win your patronage by bringing you better quality at lower prices. Who benefits most by such competition? Why, you do. For it's such competition which brings down prices, builds up quality. And Sunoco's entry in this competition is Dynafuel, the wonder fuel of the year. The motor fuel with premium performance, but without the premium price. How about testing a tank full of Dynafuel in your car? Now, Lowell Thomas says,
this is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.